Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I am recording this episode not knowing exactly when this episode is going to reach you because I'm we're in the middle of a storm and we've got no power, we've got no phone connection, and that's been since Sunday. Today's Tuesday and we might be like this for another couple of days, so, but I know I'm gonna get this episode to you eventually. So here I am. And if you are signed up to our newsletter, you might have received an email that explained a little bit about our situation at the moment and what to do to regulate your nervous system when life hits you with a storm. Not necessarily a weather event, but any kind of storm. So I'm not going to go into that now, but if you haven't subscribed to our mailing list, you can do that. There's a link in the description of the video, and also when you access the free self-love guided practice, you're also subscribing to our email, so that's another way. Both links are in the description of this episode, sorry. Okay, so today we're talking about unpacking the role of the enabling father with a narcissistic mother. But before we go into this topic, there's something important I want to clarify with you. It's something that is really important, close to my heart, and yeah, that needs to be spoken to. And so the intention behind this podcast and this space is to offer support and clarity on the topic of maternal narcissism and how it has impacted our lives as daughters of narcissistic mothers. So this will look very different for each of us. I do not have the arrogance to believe that I am covering every aspect and every single little nuance of this topic. And I can't know the fullness of the different reasons that brought you to this channel. I totally accept that. As I say often in episodes, take what serves you and leave the rest, and trust that what is said might not be useful for you right now, maybe, and so you might leave that for now, but it is useful for someone else for sure, because we're all very different. There are over 1,000 weekly listens, so assuming some of you are listening back to all their episodes in the same week, there are definitely close to 1,000 different sets of needs and expectations on this channel every week. So my intention is to create a safe container for all of us, which includes me as a speaker, which really means, again, take what serves you and leave the rest. Do not assume, never assume, that what doesn't serve you is also not serving anyone else. If in doubt, you can respectfully ask, which I totally welcome. And I want to remind you that it is a vulnerable thing for me to come here and share, believe it or not. And although it is not your job to feel for me, I'm not expecting that of you ever. I do expect that every communication happens respectfully. So that is my line, that is my boundary. I will not answer to any email or comment that feels disrespectful. I will always be here and welcome any question and request and share that is offered with respect and kind words, and even any feedback, that you can be sure, you can count on that. Anything that is spoken disrespectfully, with sharp language, and not taking into account that there is a lot of people listening to these, and so that one episode is not exactly perfect for you, it will be for a lot of other people. So if anything comes from that place, I will not engage with that, because this is a safe container for you, and it also has to be a safe container for me. And if something that is spoken in an episode truly triggers you to the point that you feel called to leave me nasty comments or send me nasty emails, so you feel like projecting onto me and onto this channel, I actually get it. they invi- because we all have done that at some point, so I get it. The invitation is to sit with it, you know, sit with that discomfort, whatever got triggered in you. Get curious about it. Ask yourself, why did it trigger me this much? What's in this for me? That has truly helped me when I found myself very triggered by some mentors and or guides that I followed, which, as I said, it has happened to me as well, so I get it. And remember also that it is your sovereign choice to listen to this content or not. You know, if you do not find what is spoken here or in some particular episodes helpful for you, you're welcome not to listen. That is your right. It is your choice. And my wish is that you find the best content to support you in your journey. And I say this with absolute love in my heart. And if you're wondering why I had to express this at the beginning of this episode, then you're not amongst those that leave nasty comments. And if you're totally understanding what I mean by this, or it's triggering you massively, then, well, you know. If you know, you know. That's all I needed to say. It's very important. The main thing is that the intention behind all of this is to offer support. And I will keep answering every email and comment that comes in respectfully and with kind words, as always. Okay, so with that said, let's explore the topic of the Enabling Father. Again, take what serves you and leave the rest. And if you feel like your father was and still is the best in the world and played absolutely no part in enabling your mother's behavior, that's okay too, okay? Maybe this episode is not for you. What I want to say is that I felt that way for a long time, and I was not ready to explore these aspects of the wounds I carried. So I totally get it. This is a really delicate topic. So I'll try to cover as much as I can, but of course I won't be able to cover all in one episode. But if you asked yourself at some point, why did your father do nothing when your mother was behaving in whatever ways she was behaving? Or how could he stay with her with all that she was doing? Or why did he leave and left you with your mother? That could be another possibility. Or how could he not see what was going on? Anything like that. If you've asked yourself questions like that, then this episode might be helpful to get some clarity on the topic of your father. Also, if your father was completely absent, as in if you've never met your father, or you've met him very little, or if your father indeed passed away, I would still invite you to listen to this episode if you're open to it. Because there might still be something that is that's in it for you as well. So yeah, let's go into that. What I want to start with is a little bit about my own experience on that. The more I uncovered the trauma of my childhood and the part that my mother played in it, the more I realized that there was a part that my father played too. And this has been in ways a lot more difficult for me to admit and to explore, and a lot more painful too. I suffered for my mother's behavior, but I was not prepared for the hurt that I felt where my father was concerned. So I kind of started this healing journey focusing mostly on my mother and the mother wounds and all of that. But when I got to a point where I had to face the role of my father, that was hard because my father was the good parent. So do you ever ask yourself why your father never stopped what was happening? Or why did he stay with a woman like your mother? Did he ever dismiss or minimize what you tried to tell him about how your mother hurt you? Or maybe he listened and acknowledged it, but in the end didn't do a thing. He didn't actually do anything to change the situation. And the last one there is my case. He listened. My dad listened, but he never actually did a thing. So even when I was in very dark places, he still didn't do a thing. And yet he was the better parent, for sure. And that was the confusion for me. He listened. He didn't put me down like my mother did. He didn't tell me I was oversensitive and faulty and all of that. He did some lovely things with me, like we spent lovely time together and did amazing activities and things that I enjoyed so much as I was a child, which my mother didn't do. If there was one person that would show up, for example, at an event or a school thing or whatever, it was my dad always. So he did so much for me, it seemed. And yet I discovered the pit of hurt, anger and grief that was caused by his not ever doing anything to truly stop what was happening with my mother. So again, as I said, I want to share some of my personal experience as this might be helpful for some. Now, of course, this is my personal experience. It's going to look very different for you, but it's just to give you an idea. So my parents separated when I was just a baby, but my father remained near and I was seeing him every Saturday. And that day was my favorite part of the week. I could relax when I was at his house. I could feel safe, play and be myself way more than at home. It's only later in life that I realized that actually I still wasn't able to be fully myself. It was more subtle, but that came way later in life. So he was fun and gentle, but every Saturday evening he would bring me back home, and this would be to an abusive and emotionally unavailable mother and to an emotionally very abusive stepfather. And I cried because I did not want to go back. But the moment I got home, I dried my tears and hid the evidence of my distress so that Granny, which was also living in the house, would not see and feel like I didn't love her, because guilt tripping was her thing. And I didn't want her to feel bad. I felt so guilty about her ever feeling bad. So, and I actually grew up so aware of how it hurt my father to bring me back in that state every Saturday, of how hard it was for him not to be able to do anything about it, how powerless he felt. He had to bring me back. That's how he felt. And how great it was for the bit that he did, you know, that those few hours that he gifted me. And he did his best to the best of his awareness. And I know that. I know that. That's not something I'm forgetting in all of this. But that was not enough. Being an adult now and a parent, of course, I have kids. I can see now that he never spoke to my mother about what he witnessed. He never actually tried to take control of the situation. He believed his story of power being powerless and helpless, and it also was a comfort zone for him too, and he never actually did anything. Now, yet he did help me in other ways and always spoke to the fact that he could not do more, or also how much it pained him, which I understand was him doing his best at the time. So this is the confusion with the good parent, because he did his best and he did so much good, and yet it was not enough. So with all that said, grief and anger were inside of me and needed to be processed. Yet a lot of guilt was stopping that from happening. A guilt that came from the voice inside of me that said, how can you be angry at your father? I mean, he was always there for you. He was so good to you. How could you be angry? And this can be confusing and can create a lot of conflicting emotion. Much like, I know if you've listened to the Vulnerable Narcissistic episode, I'm not saying that enabling fathers are vulnerable narcissists. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that it's a similar level of confusion, as in, it's not very obvious what's happening. It's not very obvious their wounds are being created even by that behavior, because the person seems so good on the outside and it seems that they're doing so amazing. And they are actually doing a lot of good too. But that doesn't mean that is not leaving some kind of a mark inside of us and that is not having an impact on us and our lives. So that's why this is really important to speak to. So I'm sharing all this with you because it is important to understand that the good parent, in inverted brackets, so the one that we consider the healthy one, again, in inverted bracket, has indeed played a part in how you're experiencing life right now. And often this is more difficult to see and to come to terms with, because compared to the more obvious abuse, we've got from our mothers, it seems nothing. So with this episode, I've said it again. I'm going to say it again. I'm not pretending to cover all father wounds. I would love to hear from you what was your experience with your father. And if you feel called to share that, you can email me. As always, the email is in the description of this episode. So you're welcome to do that. So there are different ways a father can take the role of the enabler. Okay, an enabler is one who provides the means or opportunities for someone else to do what they do. So going by this definition, even doing nothing to stop a situation is an indirect way to provide an opportunity for it to happen. And of course, the enabler might have his or her own reasons. If you look back, you might see all the reasons why your father did what he did, enabling your mother to do what she did. Maybe he believed that this behavior was the best way to protect you. Maybe he was even scared of your mother and how abusive she was. Your mother might have been abusive to him too. Maybe he was in a codependent relationship with her, and for his own undealt trauma, he couldn't get out of it. Maybe he was not even present enough to do anything at all, and so on. So there might be millions of reasons, and you can see those really clearly, and I get that. But whatever the case, none of these change the fact that deep down, you felt abandoned by both parents. You might have felt abandoned by both parents. That you might now be uncovering the anger and grief that you are feeling towards the so-called good parent, and that you might also feel guilty about it, because again, they've been so good, and you're feeling anger and grief. You might bring it back to there's something wrong with you, that you're ungrateful, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's why we're talking about this. So let's have a look at the different types of enabling fathers. There's a few. Again, these are like main types. You might recognize your father fully in one of these. It might be a mix of a few. And also sometimes it evolves. It might have started more with one. And then as you grew up, the behavior changed. So again, this division, like making them in different types, it's to make things simpler to understand, but it's not like something so rigid in real life. Okay, so keep that in mind always. So the first type is the absent father. So this can be a father that is away a lot, maybe for work or because of divorce, or all the way to a father that is not there at all. And so I'm gonna talk about that for a second. So in regard to the father that is completely absent, so this could be either a father that passed away, or maybe your mother was a single mother, so you never met your father. So clearly, in those cases, we're not talking about a directly enabling father, because if the father is not there at all, he's not enabling actively your mother in her behavior. Yet, it still may have created a feeling of abandonment, especially in the case of the unknown father. And it is important to explore that. So in your healing journey, that's something to consider. And in the case of the father who passed away, depending on the timing of that happening, so that could have happened before you were even born, or you could have happened when you were very little or later on in life. But abandonment and grief might need to be explored in that case too. So that's to keep in mind. But going back to the absent father, so the one that is around but is not really engaged or present, this can create a sense of abandonment, of not being good enough to be worth of his love and time, anger towards the fact that his frequent absence left you defenseless and alone with your mother. So that's all to be considered. The second type is the father that is in denial. So this father might be even around more than the previous type, but he's great in so many ways, but for his own reasons, doesn't want to see what is truly going on with your mother. He obviously knows on a subconscious level, because he does. You can be sure of that. But he never would admit it to himself or to you for his own reasons that we don't know. I don't know. Maybe you know. It's your dad. You might, as you work on it, understand the reasons. But that's not the important part. The important part is the impact that it has had on you. Okay? So this can leave you feeling alone, not seen, abandoned, and confused by conflicting emotions. The third type of father is the victim father. This is the father that is aware of what is going on, or part of it at least, but feels powerless and unable to do anything about it. So this father might do his best within what he feels he can do, but it still isn't enough. Okay? So again, leaving you feeling alone and with conflicting emotion, and probably feeling guilty to ask more of your father. And that was a little bit my case. A father that felt for me, but felt powerless to do anything about it. The fourth type is the vulnerable narcissistic father. So this father, this type, also feels like the victim in the situation, often paired with a more grandiose narcissistic mother. The difference with the victim father and the vulnerable narcissistic father is that the second one tells you about it a lot, okay? Making sure you feel responsible for him and for the situation in some ways. So you'll hear about it. You know, I'd love to help you, but I can't, because you see, like, if look at me, poor me, like, I can't do this and I can't do that. And maybe if you started behaving better with your mother, I'd have an easier life, and, you know, it would be easier for me as well. So maybe you could do something to help me in this. I kind of turning it around on you, making you responsible for his situation, for his emotional state, maybe even for the conflict with your, between himself and your mother, kind of making it your fault. Okay? So he might also fear his partner, and so he might fear your mother, and he might minimize your lived experience in order to protect himself, and he will protect himself before anyone else. He might use guilt tripping and gaslighting to minimize your situation, make you feel responsible for his situation. So that's one type. Then another type is the friend father. This is the father who is aware of the situation and listens to you and validates your feelings and all of that, and it's great, but does absolutely nothing to change the situation because he is gaining from it. As in, he uses the situation to be your friend, to be the best parent. He likes that fact. He likes that it's the two of you against the world, but at the same time doesn't want to change the situation. So this can leave you very conflicted about feeling anger towards this type of father at all, because he's so great and he's your best friend and he's there for you, but yet he's not doing anything to change the situation. Even when you were a kid, he didn't stand up for you. He didn't actually help you, really. And it can also cause a lot of grief to start seeing the situation for what it really is and for the impact that it had on you. The next type is the complicit father. This is when the father is also kind of a more grandiose narcissist, okay? And this can go two ways. So this type of father can be paired with a more vulnerable narcissistic mother. So there's different things that happen here. You might actually come to understand maternal narcissism. You might have figured out your mother was a vulnerable narcissist, and you might start seeing the connection between her behavior and your father more abusive behavior, how they played off each other. And sometimes some people have come to me saying that yes, they got how I was speaking about maternal narcissism, but their situation was different. It was more the father that was narcissistic. And then exploring it, they started realizing that yes, the father was a more grandiose narcissist, and so easier to spot, and the abuse was very clear, but that there was a certain level of vulnerable narcissism within the mother. So it's like whichever way you're going to look at it, you might discover these dynamics. Or it could be also that both parents might be more of the grandiose narcissist, and in this case is them teamed up against you. Even if they come across in their behavior slightly different between each other, the message is the same from both of them. You're faulty, you're a bad daughter, you're a burden to their life. Leaving you feeling very alone, unwanted, undeserving of love, unlovable in general, inherently bad, and all of that. So maybe you can recognize your father in one of these types, or maybe he might be a mix of a couple of different types. Mine sure is. And I'm not quite sure if it's his behavior that has evolved as I grew up, or is it just me that I've started seeing him differently as I've done this work. But definitely he is a mix of a few of these. And all this might feel confusing, as it might be the first time you truly have considered the role of your father and the role that he has had in all that you have experienced in your childhood and maybe you're still experiencing right now. You might even find this episode triggering, as you might have, as I said at the beginning, the biggest love for your father, and you see him as the best. And you're like, who is she to say that my dad enabled my mother? I am not saying that for everyone. And I totally get that. As I said, that was my situation for a long time. I idolized my dad completely. But by doing that, by idolizing him, I was disregarding a lot of pain that was caught inside of me. And until I started recognizing it, I couldn't deal with it. So that's why I've done this episode. Maybe another option is that you had no true relationship with your father at all, but you always blamed your mother and her bad influence for that, you know, blamed it on her triangulation and all her ways to isolate different members of the family and turn them against each other. And so you just never realized that your father also had a choice in all of that, and that he could have stand up to your mother, really. So the important thing to understand here is that none of all of these different options and all of this that we're saying here, it's ultimately about your father. None of it is about your father and the ins and outs of his story and why he did what he did and all of that. All of this is about you and your healing journey and how the dynamics of your father's choices have impacted you. That's the important part. It's what you are feeling inside when you're looking back, and that you're able to look back seen beyond the veil of the good parent versus bad parent, but that both in their ways might have had an impact in how you're feeling right now. I grew up believing my father was the best, and I needed to believe that in order to survive. Actually, it was a really powerful protective strategy, you know, like seeing my mother although I didn't know the whole maternal narcissism and all of that, I knew that there was a lot of stuff that wasn't on, and I was suffering and I was crying and I was in pain. But if I actually also took in the pain that came from my dad, then it would have been too much. My system was like not able to take it. And so this was a very, very useful protective strategy. And it hurt so much when I woke up to the impact it had in all of it, you know, the impact that his choices had on me. I felt angry, but mostly I felt grief, rejection, and I felt like a burden. I felt like, you know, he behaved the way he did just because I was his responsibility. And the minute that I'm not a responsibility anymore, he doesn't care anymore, and so on. So it's been quite the journey. I'm still processing a lot of it, and I can't say I have it all figured out at all. But there are a few things that I found helpful so far in the process of going through all of this. And I want to share them with you so that they might be helpful for you as well. So number one, if your father has somehow enabled your mother's behavior to go on unchecked, chances are you carry an abandonment wound that comes from both your parents. And it is important to explore. So that's the first thing. Start opening your eyes to observe their interactions with both your parents, the way and sort of open up a door to the possibility that not just your mother, but there's more to it for you to explore. And this is not to add. So some of you might say, oh my God, really? I'm just starting with my mother. Do I now have to take on my dad? And then who else? And I get that might feel a little bit, oh my, but it is in its own good timing. It's very important. So also that if you feel like if things about your dad do come up, but you might be in therapy, or you might be with your mentor or in your support group or whatever, and you would like to speak to that too, but you think maybe that is not the place, or maybe that's just you being too sensitive again or whatever, and if you're the only one thinking that way, you're not. We're all in this, and we've all had, to a degree, some kind of wounding coming from the other parent too. So it's okay to feel that way, and you're not alone in that. Number two, having a narcissistic mother has an impact on how we relate with others, for sure, and friendship, intimate relationships, all of that. There is a full episode on this channel on the topic of how it has impacted the way we relate with other women, so you can go back and listen to that. But the relationship with our father also has an impact on how we relate, especially with men. So again, it's worth looking into it and get curious. In my case, for so long, my father was the only true man in my life, the one I relied upon, and I compared every man to him in some impossible contest. This has had a huge impact in my relationships, and not for the best. And also, another way the relationship with my father has impacted me relating within intimate relationship is that I brought in all the subconscious load of the father wounds I carried, and I was unaware of it. So if I felt my partner behaved in a way that reminded me of how my father made me feel, my partner would get the full load of pain, the full load of my pain. Like there would be a reaction to things that in themselves were nothing actually, but so loaded, and that was all the load of the father wound I was carrying, and I was not aware of it, of course. And things changed when I became aware of it, and changed for the better a lot. And I was also way more able to communicate with my partner about things that truly actually are not on for me, but I have nothing to do with my father wounds. So to separate the two things, which is really important to keep a relationship safe and to keep it working. Number three, it is okay to feel anger and grief towards your father, even if he always was the good parent. There are many ways you might feel guilty about feeling anger and grief, and that may depend on what type of enabling father you had. So remember that this is your healing journey, and whatever you feel is important, and it's okay. Feeling anger and grief towards your father doesn't mean you have to hate him or that you don't know that he has done his best. It is what you're feeling, and you're feeling that as a result of his choices. And this is important to remember. It took me a long time to understand this bit, but it's so crucial. Living with the consequences of their choices is the responsibility of every parent. Okay? Living with the consequences of their choices is the responsibility of every parent. It's not your responsibility to make it easy on them. Their emotional state is not your responsibility. None of that is your responsibility. They're the parents. It's their responsibility to live with the consequences of their choices. Always. And when you become a parent, it's your turn. I know. It's my responsibility to live with the consequences that my choices have had on my two kids. So leave that to them. When you get triggered by your father's behavior now or in the past, feel what is there for you, what is true for you. Get curious. Explore that with your therapist, with your guide, with your coach, with your support group, you name it. It's important to do that. I cannot stress that enough. Number four, and seems to be repeating the same thing again, but it's because it's so important. You are not responsible for your father's emotional state or for his choices. Whatever his reasons, whatever his story, he was an adult in an adult relationship. Okay, maybe not a conscious one in all aspects, but he made his choices. And you're not responsible for any of those. Okay, so none of it is your fault. I had to battle with this one for a long, long time because, of course, there was a lot of my dad's life was impacted by me being there. I mean, he kept around because I was there. He had to keep suffering because I was there. I mean, if I wasn't there, he could have just left my mother like he did, but without ever having to engage again. But no, I was there. So a lot of his pain was, in inverted bracket, my fault. And that's what I was told, but that's not true. That's not true. Every choice he made was his own choice, and none of it is my fault. And the same goes for you. None of it is your fault. None of it is your fault. You were just a kid. Okay? You were just a kid. The adults were your parents. You were just a kid. And it doesn't even matter how young your parents were when they had you. You were just a kid. They were still way older than you, no matter what. So it's their responsibility, it's not yours. Number five, last point on this. It's okay to love your father. Okay, so no matter what, even after listening to all of this, you're like, but I love my dad. That's fine. And it is okay even to love your narcissistic mother. I mean, I love both my parents dearly. But that's it. It was essential for my healing journey to see them for what they were and still are. To feel the hurt, the anger, the grief that is there, to allow myself to see the dynamics and how they have impacted me, to set boundaries with both of them, all of it in order to be able to be more myself and to reclaim my life. So it's okay to love them. It's okay to love them. And it's okay, and it can be, then both things are true. It's true that we love them, and it's also true that we need to see them in a different light. So that we are able to process everything that is true for us in our emotional system. And that's okay. Both things are okay at the same time. So overall, it is important to understand that if you have suffered for the abuse of a narcissistic mother for years in your childhood, and even now maybe you're still suffering for that, and your father was somehow there. He has played a role in enabling your mother to some degree, whether intentionally or not. In other words, unless he stood up for you with your mother when she displayed narcissistic behavior towards you and things changed thanks to your father standing up for you, so unless he's done that, he has been an enabling her in some way, okay? So unless he stood up for you fully, 100%, and things changed, which more than likely, if that is true, I don't know, would you be here now? But maybe that happened later. Maybe your father actually was an enabling father for a period of your life, and then things changed. So that can be another option too. But if he hasn't actually stood up for you, for whatever his reason, like that's not for us to discuss what his reasons were, then it means he has been an enabling father in some way, and this has had an impact on you that is worth exploring for you to fully be yourself and be able to be happy. That's the whole point of this. What I want you to bring away from this episode, if nothing else, is that it's okay to have some feelings like anger or grief when you're f where your father is concerned, where the good parent is concerned. I haven't spoken in this episode directly to when it's same-sex parents in couples and stuff. This has not been my experience, and so I can't speak from experience on that. There are other figures that speak to parental narcissism that talk about that. So, but the dynamics within whichever the masculine pole and feminine pole of the relationship is more like the mother figure, and who's more the father figure is going to be pretty much a similar thing. So, please don't feel excluded if I haven't mentioned that. That's just because I speak to what is my experience and what is the experience that I've gained through my research, and I don't want to speak to things that I'm not fully sure of, so forgive me for that. Again, take what serves you and leave the rest, and look for sources that speak to that if that's your case, because they will have a more comprehensive way of speaking to that. the main thing of this is, yes, so to understand that the good parent, despite how good they were, or even the missing parent, again, going back to a father that you've never met, or a father that passed away very early, there still is something there to explore. And I know that it's really hard to look back and to a father that passed away, perhaps, and feel angry because you felt abandoned. Like, you might feel very, very guilty in a situation like that, because, I mean, he didn't have a choice, maybe. But again, if that's what you're feeling, it's worth exploring. Because if that's what you're feeling, it means there's something there that is undealt with within you. And that is what's stopping you from being happy. That is what's stopping you from feeling good about yourself, from living your life, being fully yourself, and all of that. So until it's explored, until we feel that that's a bad thing to feel that way, we're not able to explore it, we're not able to go there, and then that stops our journey. And our capacity to fully experience life and to fully be ourselves. So that was the point of this episode. And yeah, so again, feel free to share your experience with me. Send me an email if you feel called to do that. The email address is in the description of the episode. Also, again, a reminder, February 5th is when the Women's Circle is starting. And so if you're interested in it, spaces are actually filling up. So please check the link in the description. Contact me about it. Apply for it. Even if you're unsure, there is a free call with the application. So there you can get to ask questions and know more about the circles. And so be more able to decide whether it is for you or not. But make sure to get going and do that, because as spaces fill up, they're small circles. So as spaces fill up, then you're going to have to wait maybe for the next intake. Okay. With that said, I'm going to leave you and send you lots of love. Bye for now.